Today on Pilgrim Radio's His People, Mike Mobley, on the subject of cohabiting couples from the perspective of the local church.
And that's typically where I'll counsel them, you know, what's more important, you know, here? Is it what the Word says, or is it what, you know, you guys prefer as far as your timing? Because, again, if God is your authority, what better picture than to take your relationship right now, build it on the foundation of God and what the Word says, and go get married?
Mike Mobley, next. It's obvious the prevalence of couples cohabiting has risen dramatically over the past several decades, and it affects church congregations as well as the broader culture. And it's a topic World Magazine is addressing currently. Today and tomorrow we'll explore this subject from two vantage points, from that of a local church minister and then that of a family researcher. Today's guest brings a pastoral perspective. Mike Mobley is a minister at 121 Community Church in Texas and author of the article, What's Wrong with Living Together Before Marriage? Mike, your article gets about 6,500 views a month. Why do you think it's such a popular subject?
You know, I was surprised myself a few years ago when I wrote that post, just the response that's been to that. How many people search every day, you know, using Google? They're basically searching for, you know, why is it wrong to move in together, or trying to see a reason if they can move in with their boyfriend or their girlfriend. I just think a lot of people still have questions out there that, you know, they're just not really finding the right answers to, so they're searching online. So I think they're just looking for, still searching answers for that question. It's just a very popular thing that many couples just do, you know, on their way towards marriage. They just think that's a natural next step, is you know, moving together.
Well, now you serve in a church in Dallas, or at least in the Dallas area of Texas, of Grapevine. Tell us a little bit about your church, how large it is, like what the age groups are, that kind of thing.
Sure, yeah. So I work at a 121 Community Church in Grapevine, Texas. We have about 1,500-ish to about 2,000 every weekend. And we started in 1999 with our pastor, Ross Sawyers. He started in a home of about 30, 40 people. It's just kind of been growing ever since. We have, you know, we have a good mix, a good range. It's probably on average from 20s to 50s. Quite a bit of families there in that range, so we have a good number of kids that go to the church as well, and we're just kind of right in the middle of Dallas and Fort Worth. And so there's a lot of cities in between there that we just have a good mix of people that show up there every weekend.
Well, what kind of sense do you have, Mike, of those that attend there, that of course that are professing Christian couples who are living together? Do you have some kind of a read on that?
You know, I couldn't probably give you a number on it. I mean, I know there are some Christian couples that are doing that, you know, as far as within the context of 121, and I would say just in the greater church overall. And part of even my experience when I was a new Christian is I still actually thought that's what you naturally did in a relationship. One of the next steps was to move in together for various reasons, and I actually thought that was the right thing to do. That kind of took the Lord teaching me and convicting me through His Word and through other brothers and sisters in Christ pointing that out to me. How that was actually a sinful move. And so I think we have a lot of Christians today, whether they've been counseled or not, a lot of them probably not, frankly, that are pretty much walking through day-to-day thinking that it's an okay thing to do, when just in reality it's not the right thing to do.
Well, what are some common reasons why, especially professing Christians, obviously non-believers may have some similar reasons, but why they choose to live together before marriage?
Some of the most popular things that I've heard, and that I was even a part of myself, was typically, you know, a money factor. It could be one. Much harder for two people to pay for their own rent versus just kind of chipping in together. Sometimes it's to kind of test the relationship, meaning to see if we're compatible. You know, living together, we got to get a good sense of if we're actually living together day to day, and we can do that. Well, then surely we can get married. So typically it comes down to sometimes I hear money, you know, resources, just kind of a natural progression for the next step. Those are typically the reasons, you know, that I would hear as far as them living together.
And that has been the traditional wisdom, at least in the culture, has been it's been kind of like a test drive to see if it'll work out in the long run.
Yes, and there's a lot of things to say about that. You know, I see the reasons why people do that. You know, think it's kind of like, you know, maybe playing house a little bit. They're giving it a test drive. They can see where they really fall. You know, I have personally, you know, some concerns about that, just because, you know, giving a test drive before you would maybe move towards marriage, I just don't think you're going to be able to adequately test drive every scenario that's going to come up after you get married.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Lord really calls us more towards making a commitment to one another, you know, as a man and a woman, to no matter what happens throughout marriage. And I'm sure a lot of us could attest to many different things can come up after that, that you're just not going to be able to test for, but you'll get an opportunity when those things come up, if you're committed in the marriage, to serve each other and, you know, serve the Lord first and foremost in that.
Well, your article is titled, What's Wrong with Living Together Before Marriage? And my guest is Mike Mobley. He is a planning and operations minister at 121 Community Church in Grapevine, Texas. Well, Mike, to begin to answer the question the way that you do in the article, is you start by looking at how God defines marriage. Where do you begin there?
Yeah, so going all the way back to even in Genesis, when God created Adam and Eve, and creating Eve as a suitable helper for Adam, I think that's the first marriage picture we see, and I think the way God has defined it and created it as marriage is between one man and one woman. And I know that is a confusing and maybe even an old school style way of thinking in today's culture, because we very loosely define it in many, many different ways. But I think sometimes that is confusing, because a topic like love and attraction can get so confusing with our emotions. You know, they get really heightened during those times. And sometimes we can be deceived even by what we feel is right. And I think we need to, instead of being led by our hearts in those situations, I think we need to inform our hearts with what the Bible actually has to say about it. And I think God defines it as one man and one woman.
And certainly the book of Genesis talks about the fact that that is the union that is, of course, blessed by God, and the two shall become one flesh. And what does that mean? That's basically the sexual union, right?
Yeah, that's what I believe. So, that, you know, they come together, as far as in the context of marriage, you know, after they're married, become one flesh. God sees them as one. They obviously still have roles to carry out as husband and wife, and there's much to be said about that. But it's really, if you were to look through Genesis and just in the context of Scripture, it's very clearly that it is one man and one woman. And then obviously they're not coming together until they're actually married, as far as, you know, from a sexual standpoint.
Mike, you turn from the Old Testament book of Genesis, as you're just describing how God defines marriage there, to the New Testament and to the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 6, verses 15 through 18, and then I'll just ask you about it. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Where would you begin? How do those verses relate to the question of living together before marriage?
Yeah, Bill, so the way I see that kind of relating together, and a lot of the reasons beyond the post, whether it's in my own life and I think for many other couples I've spoken with, is there's a big deal with living together before being married in regards to being tempted to do things that are sexually immoral, or to maybe play house, play marriage. Even if we feel like we're going to be marrying that person in the future, I think awakening something like that too soon just would be sinful. And so I think there are many, many couples who are living together, more than likely even sleeping in the same bed together, and they don't see something wrong with that, when the Bible would speak to not even having a hint of sexual immorality. And it's a big deal. That's talked about a lot in Scripture. So rightfully so, as followers of Jesus, we should take those matters seriously. And so when we are living together and we're not even married yet, I mean, we are, as much as we can be, playing with fire, whether we think we'll be immune to that, we're not going to get burned by that. The attitude alone of thinking we can handle that, I think, says a lot about where we are in our relationship with the Lord. And if we really want Him and the Bible to be the authority in our lives, or if we want to be our own authority and make our own decisions based on what we feel might be right. Again, I really think it's a matter of the heart. And I think in a moment for many relationships, which is very exciting, and that's awesome, it's also very critical, because since the emotions are so heightened during that time, I think we have a tendency to lean towards what our heart feels is right. And I just don't believe we can trust our hearts. You know, I think we're naturally sinners. We're born into that sinful nature, you know, after what took place with Adam and Eve.
Mm-hmm.
And if we trust our hearts to lead us, I think they're going to lead us away from the Lord. And it's confusing because we're with a, you know, we're in a relationship, and so we believe, man, this feels right. This has got to be right. But that's not what the Bible says, and it doesn't mean what the Bible says isn't going to feel right or good. I think it's going to feel better and be better at the end of the day, but I think we can just be deceived in a moment like this. And so I couldn't give you a specific number on that. I couldn't really back it up, but I think the majority of couples that are living together are also going to be sexually active together. And even if they're not, the fact that you're just playing with fire and temptation as much as you can would tell me that you're not treating this situation as seriously as you could, and maybe not reflecting on what Jesus has actually done for you on the cross.
And so you're obviously you're answering the question. If they push back a bit and say, well, we're treating it as a purely platonic relationship like roommates, that's you're saying stay away from that.
Yeah, and that's actually what I personally did. So back in, I believe it was 2006, when I first became a believer, one of the very first things I did, I was in the middle of a relationship, and this woman brought me to church and played a significant role, actually, in me becoming a believer, because she helped answer my questions and was just patient with me. And so we believed we were going to get married in the future, and so we were thinking, well, there's no sense for us both to pay rent. We're already going to get married anyway, so let's just jump in, let's just do it. But, you know, tell you what, we'll get a two-bedroom apartment. And our justification is we'll have two bedrooms.
Mm-hmm.
And so since we won't sleep in the same bed, surely we're doing the godly thing. And so looking back now, I could already see there was some hesitation. I already felt there was something maybe wrong with this. I just wasn't aware of that, and I didn't have anyone in my life yet who was really counseling me on this. And so we tried to justify it, but, I mean, to be completely honest, the temptation, whether you have two bedrooms or not, it's still very much there. You're still playing with fire. You know, you could get four different bedrooms going on, but you're still under the same roof. And at the end of the day, and even at night, I mean, you have easy access to one another, and anything could happen, just like we're all aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I mean, if we're striving to live for Christ and glorify God in everything that we're doing, could we really say we're seeking to put God first by putting ourselves in a situation that could be so damaging to our lives and to one another?
And you actually didn't end up marrying that person.
No, I didn't. So what happened, I was probably, I think a few months in, I really started what I now know was conviction, that, you know, I believe through the Holy Spirit and through the Word. I had some Christian friends and family around me who were kind of ministering to me and talking to me, and I would listen to them. Some of it I would just kind of take it with a grain of salt. And I just learned over time, there's, you know, this isn't right. This doesn't line up with what the Bible says, and I don't think we can continue. And so I was ready to move out, and she didn't agree with that mindset. And so, we ended up breaking up and moving on from that scenario. But I will say, I do think there are some Christians out there who do genuinely believe it's a natural next step to live with someone that you're maybe going to get married with, and that's especially because of what the culture says. And sometimes it's a lack of discipleship as part of the issue on someone just not understanding that this is wrong according to the Bible. And a lot of us could probably be really just patient and take things slowly to disciple people and point them to God's Word. And walk with them patiently during that time, because it can be really confusing when you're in a relationship with someone and you feel like you're doing the right thing, but you're told biblically it's actually the wrong thing you're doing. I just think that's a good testimony for us to be loving and patient with one another and disciple people well, and let God's Word and the Holy Spirit be responsible for the results.
I wanted to ask you too, Mike, and this is something you raised a few minutes ago, and I appreciate what you just said. What is the connection to what Jesus did on the cross for us, or the gospel, to this issue. Can you bring that together for us?
Sure. Yeah, no worries. So, you know, I tend to look at it as if we really reflect what Jesus did for us and paying the penalty for all of our past, present, and future sins on the cross and rising from the dead and defeating death and sin and victory, and how we can have a relationship with him forever. You know, the fact we can be forgiven for all eternity, mm-hmm. and even thinking about that right now is phenomenal. That's incredible. And we tend to forget about that. In the next 5 minutes, maybe, we just lose sight of that, and we need that reminder. We need the Holy Spirit to continue to remind us. I think John 14:26 talks about how the Holy Spirit is our teacher and brings remembrance to us of all things. That means we're forgetful people. And so I think we need the Holy Spirit to remind us of what Jesus did for us. And so in the context of what we're talking about here, living together before being married and why that's wrong, when we reflect on what Jesus did for us and pays the penalty for those sins, I think that makes a big difference on our decision-making. If we want to put ourselves in a tempting situation or a sinful situation, I believe it would encourage us to not do that. You know, for me personally, if I'm thinking what Jesus did for me personally on the cross, I don't want to go play with fire and be tempted to sin. And even if I feel like it, and I feel like it's for a relationship, that relationship cannot supersede my relationship with Jesus. And I think at that moment, I can start seeing, okay, maybe I'm a little bit off here. Maybe my relationship with this person, I'm starting to treat this person a little bit more than God in reality. And that's where I think the gospel becomes very relevant, is Jesus continuing to be the first love of my life before this person. Or is he not? You know, is he kind of second or third place in my life?
Well, my guest today on His People is Mike Mobley. Mike is a planning and operations minister at 121 Community Church. And at his website, beforethecross.com, you can find the article, What's Wrong with Living Together Before Marriage? It's reported that it gets about 6,500 views a month. And this subject is also being addressed and written about right now at worldmag.com as well. And Mike, you mentioned, I think at the top of the interview, that you do counseling, some counseling. How do you, or how would you counsel a professing Christian couple who's living together? Perhaps they have some of the reasons that you've given. How would you begin to broach the subject?
There's not a perfect, I don't think there's a perfect model or like straight answer for every single couple, because every couple, you know, obviously has varying situations with everybody. The way I personally would do it, obviously, is be talking to them, getting to know them, building a relationship with them, talking about their situation and pointing them to Scripture that we've been talking about in the gospel, and just seeing what they think about that, especially if they're professing to be followers of Jesus. And I really kind of get one response to the other. Typically, it's they're not interested, and they disagree, and don't believe any of that. And so that I typically don't get to continue in the conversation. And then for the ones that I do get to continue and want to talk more, it's typically, especially, you know, since I'm a man, it's sometimes walking with the man a little bit more one-on-one. There can be a woman maybe within our church or on staff who could be counseling the woman as well. And sometimes it happens together. But it's walking with them, pointing with them what the Word says. And I've had couples who are then ready to make some changes in their lives. And I think from our church's standpoint, and I think any church that would teach the same, you know, teach the same message, we're willing to help them, you know, find, is there a place they can live temporarily? Can we help them get their marriage certificate and get married now? You know, especially if they see that they're already going to move towards marriage anyway, why not just get married today? And there's typically, you know, there's a lot of reasons people wait. Sometimes I think they're just afraid to get married. And sometimes it's they don't have the money ready to go, or that family is not quite ready yet, and it's just not the right timing. And that's typically where I'll counsel them, you know, what's more important, you know, here? Is it what the Word says, or is it what, you know, you guys prefer as far as your timing? Because, again, if God is your authority, what better picture than to take your relationship right now, build it on the foundation of God and what the Word says, and go get married? Or if you need to move out temporarily, let's find a friend. Let's kind of help you guys with your situation, help you move out, you know, work towards marriage. And if it goes in that direction, you know, praise the Lord, and then, you know, move back in together. And so I think it's ongoing communication, meeting with them. You know, I have a tendency to treat it pretty urgently just because I think time's of the essence in situations like this. And meanwhile, they could still be living together, you know, one day after another. So it's typically not like, okay, great, we met today, let's talk in a month. It's typically how many more times can we meet this week? Let's really talk about this and hash this out because it's that important.
Mike, one thing I'm not sure if we've addressed yet, but the subject of repentance.
This part's huge because sometimes, and even for me, I realized it was wrong and I had a lot of guilt and shame that I think Satan tried to jump on and attack me with. And almost make me forget I've been forgiven, and that Jesus has already forgiven me for this. I'm covered by Him, and I'm okay. I think a lot of couples, when they realize and they repent and confess that this is the wrong move, and they're even making the wise decisions either to temporarily live apart from each other or go get married, are a lot of times attacked, and I think their relationship with the Lord is attacked, and their relationship with each other is attacked. In regards to a lot of guilt and shame. And so a lot of the counsel immediately moves to, you know, praise the Lord, and it's amazing that, you know, the Holy Spirit's working through you to make these changes. And know you're forgiven. You know, there's no sin too great. What Jesus did is He conquered all of sin. And so let's praise the Lord that you guys are repenting and making these steps towards this marriage, and you're obviously glorifying the Lord through this. And you're also starting a fantastic marriage. And, you know, and as people move into that, I think they're reminded a lot that our marriage comes under the authority of God and what the Bible says. And just like, you know, it did for them during their engagement or while they're living together, they made these changes. I think that will apply for them later on in their marriage. So whether they start having kids or there's job changes or just situations with their in-laws, whatever could come up in the marriage, it's such a testimony for, I think, the husband and wife to be able to look back and go, the Bible has always been our authority. Even when we've been wrong sometimes and have messed up, that we're forgiven for all eternity, and that's okay, and we're going to move forward. We're going to keep looking up at the Lord and go one day at a time on faith and strive to follow Jesus in our marriage and everything after that.
Mike, this is a little bit of a different twist to the subject, but what if we have a friend or a relative, maybe a child or maybe a sibling or maybe a parent that's living together with someone, professing Christian? What then? How can we? That's pretty sensitive.
Yeah, I mean, as far as, you know, them being in a sexual relationship and living together, you know, the only difference really there is they may not be working towards marriage, you know, may not be headed in that direction. Mm-hmm. As far as from the counsel and what the Word says, I think it's telling them the same situation. And I think a lot of this really, Bill, comes down to a matter of authority. I think we naturally gravitate towards wanting to be the own authority in our lives, and we need that continual reminder as Jesus followers that really Jesus is the authority. And so I think it really, in any situation, as you said, in these people living together, you know, maybe in a sexual relationship in that context, I think that would prove that God in that instance is really not the authority. He couldn't be the authority because that would not line up with what the Word says, and that contradicts what the Bible says. And so in reality, they're really the authority in their own lives. And so for someone who's professing to follow Jesus, you know, there's a lot to be said right there as far as what we're talking about and pointing out what the Word says and who the authority is. You know, if someone's not following Jesus, you know, personally, I kind of think it's game on for however anyone's going to live. Because even, you know, me before following Jesus, I just kind of did whatever I wanted to do or whatever I thought was right, was typically led by my heart. And I definitely wanted to be my own authority in my life. I didn't want anyone else to have authority over my life. But, you know, as we both know, that all of that changes, you know, when we come to Christ.
Well, Mike, thanks so much for joining us today. I think really the only other question I have for you, is there anything either you do, your church does there at 121 Community Church in Grapevine, Texas, or that you would suggest that other churches do? I mean, as you said at the beginning of the conversation, this is something that's so common around us in our culture everywhere. It has been probably for 30 or 40 years, and it's become increasingly kind of accepted and common, and so the church obviously could kind of get used to it too. But any thoughts along those lines?
No, it's great. I'm glad you asked that. Yeah, I think there's a lot we could do. I think as far as the church, being patient and being willing to have the hard conversations and point out what the Word says and patiently walk with people, because sometimes I think as Christians, maybe as people who've been Christians for a while, we have a tendency to forget that sometimes people really don't know the difference. They don't know what's in the Bible, and they're very, very confused because of things that are accepted so often in our culture. Not just telling them it's wrong and walking away, that's just not really going to do them any good. But maybe saying, here's what the Bible has to say. It does say it is wrong, but let's talk about why it's wrong. I just think treat the situation very seriously. I think it's very, very prevalent in our culture. As you and I probably both know, there's so many couples out there that are doing this. I just think being willing to have the hard conversations and being patient with people and bring it up, especially within the context of the local church, I just think that would be great for the kingdom.
You've been listening to His People on Pilgrim Radio. Many thanks to today's guest, Mike Mobley, a minister at 121 Community Church in Texas.